Today on Compassion Radio.
And if you're thinking your church has to be, oh, certain size or certain budget or certain facilities, let me tell you, you get your church centered on the Word of God and authentic worship through the Holy Spirit, and your church will impact more and more people. That's what I bring from the persecuted church to suburban Orlando.
And that growth may happen in that little town where that church exists. It may happen in another country that's never heard the gospel
right
before. I don't know where it's going to grow.
Right.
But the kingdom grows, right? The
kingdom grows.
And the kingdom that is willing to live sacrificially and to go and be missional is the church that will flourish.
Hello and welcome to Compassion Radio. Carl Muller is a great friend of Compassion Radio with a long history of missions work in Russia, as well as Campus Crusade for Christ and the International Bible Society. He's also worked with Brother Andrew. Today, Bram connects with Carl to discuss the persecuted Christian church around the world and how the opportunity for us, the body of Christ, to help bring relief from their suffering has never been greater. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for the second half of that conversation.
Carl Muller, you and I talked earlier today about the issue of pathos versus ethos.
Yeah.
The credibility is there, the words there to explain things and make it clear.
Right.
But the heart has not been moved.
Right. One of the things that you have to realize is that when we, whether you get behind a microphone, whether you're on a platform or you're writing, you have to pray that God uses this to open the hearts. Because at the end of the day, what I've seen the Holy Spirit do in the persecuted church, I just want God to do here. Amen. Yeah. Let's bring a passionate revival again to the things. Let's return to our first love. Yeah. Let's be messengers, bring the gospel forward. Let's bring revival to the church. And let's pray that God uses us, even us, to help bring people to a saving knowledge of who He is.
We've been learning this past year because God's allowed us and our family to see an awful lot of trauma. And that the issue, even in the Me Too movement in the mainstream media, seems to be that there is so much that is hidden, so much that is not being confessed or being opened up that has been lurking underneath the surface for so long on the issue of physical and sexual abuse in the world, that we're just becoming awakened to it now. And it's devastating. We don't want to deal with it. We don't know how. We don't have the tools. And yet, in the spiritual realm, there's something else going on like that. There are spiritual traumas that we have swept under the rug because we have no concept of how to deal with it. Yeah. Something I learned about the persecuted is that everything's been stripped away as far as the ability to hide. And when you have been stripped of everything that you thought was you, and you're left with what's the rump of you and Jesus, you discover what you're really worth to Him.
Yeah.
And you rediscover who you really are.
Yeah.
And those kind of people speak truth gently, humbly, but without fear.
Mm-hmm. Very true, bro. I mean, Brother Andrew used to point out every place we would travel and talk to people, he would say something to the effect of, you don't know how much Jesus is worth until you have nothing but Jesus. He would say things, you know, about persecuted Christians who say, we pray for you because we've had all of this stripped away and we realize that persecution is really the second best weapon the devil has to destroy the church. The best weapon is
prosperity.
Is prosperity and affluence.
Yeah.
And so when you look at the poor and you look at the persecuted and you see only a poor and oppressed congregation, you're missing the big story, which is they have been given the key to understanding all of the Christian life. We need to grab that key.
It seems to be about the Beatitudes. When Jesus is saying this, he was preaching to those who perceive themselves to be the wealthy or the inheritors. And when you're telling them, look at these because they're happy.
Yeah.
They're full of the things that I care about. Learn from them.
Yep.
And that seems to be the whole message of the Beatitudes to me. No matter where you think you are, whether you think you're too good for this, whether you think you have it all together, whatever your state is, start by considering who Jesus himself considers to be the examples of faith. If he says study them and we choose willfully not to, then it's not just disobedience, it's to our own peril.
Yeah.
And he's not saying study them as if they are some kind of insect under a microscope. He's saying go sit at their feet and learn from them.
Learn.
Let them read their story to you because you'll find Jesus all over it.
Yeah. And Paul in Philippians 1:27, I believe, says, we got the title of our book from this. It says, to you it has been granted the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but for suffering for him as well. And we miss out that there's a deeper and richer message when the church understands its position, that it does need to follow what Jesus said. It does need to not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. But like Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I once asked a house church leader in China who was part of the Open Doors team and had been involved in sort of that grand sweep of the Holy Spirit in the 80s and 90s, of the growth of the underground church. And I said, you know, can you tell me, Pastor Lee, what was behind that? I was expecting, well, it was small groups and it was community and it was this technique.
Growth strategy.
Yeah, it wasn't. He said it was holy living. It was Matthew 6:33, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And, you know, he said, we began to see the movement happen as soon as we stopped trying to emulate what the missionaries had done for all those years and we just let the Holy Spirit have his way with us.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of our chat with Carl Muller is coming up right after this. Compassion Radio is here not just to teach the truth, but to provide you with opportunities to do the truth. That's why we've built and supported an orphanage in Hong Kong, provided beds for homeless children in India, counseled street kids in Hollywood, ministered to widows, carried Bibles into China and Vietnam, helped establish churches and provide Bibles in Indonesia, North Korea, and Southeast Asia, provided sight for the blind in Africa, aided refugees from Kosovo, and given tens of thousands of dollars to feed the hungry. Our goal is to teach the word clearly and accurately, always applying that word to building the kingdom. And we invite you to join our family as we learn together, witness together, and serve together. Please go to CompassionRadio.com today to find out more about this ministry. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com.
A hungry boy, a girl with nothing to eat. So he pulled a dollar from the pocket of his jeans, and he asked his mama, how many will this feed? She just smiled when she told him 10, and he reached back in again. What if I give all I have? What will that give to?
My child, a gift like that could change the world. It could feed a multitude.
He didn't close his eyes or turn away. I can see him.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
If we are going to be lifted up and experience what the persecuted church experiences, well, we have a few options. We can start praying for persecution, which I don't think is something people really want to do with their whole heart.
I don't even think it's biblical.
Maybe not. And, of course, we end up being double-minded in our prayers, right, wouldn't we? We'd be giving lip service to, yes, the persecuted know you better than I do. And, you know, okay, Lord, if it's your will, bring persecution to me.
Right.
We wouldn't mean it.
Right.
But we could at least recognize that there might be persecutions or traumas that are among us that we are blind to. And that if we ask him to make us woken up to the things that are happening in our midst and to give voice to them and confess them to him, that we might have a chance to see him, as you said earlier, create revival within us.
Yeah.
What do you think about that idea?
Well, I think that's spot on. I mean, in some ways, again, praying for persecution is not a starter. And it certainly flies in the face of everything Paul said. You know, pray for us as we go through this, but don't pray that this comes. I mean, it's like some false equation. Yeah. What is something to remember about the church here, and what something that I feel is really critical for us to do, is to pray for that awakening, to pray for the Spirit of God to penetrate our heart. You know, the suffering of other people is one of the most profound human experiences. The concept of empathy, engaging in the suffering of others, is profound. And, you know, when the Bible does say everyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted, it doesn't mean that they have to become sort of a political martyr or a social martyr. What it means is that God brings suffering into our lives.
Permits it.
He permits it for a variety of reasons. And he gives us the opportunity to enter into the suffering of others as well in our churches. You know, there are men and women who have suffered sexual abuse. There are people who have suffered in other ways, in physical ill, and, you know, have been raised in alcoholic or drug addicted environments. Some in our communities are suffering right now from economic and other hardships that are real and profound. And to some degree, we are guilty of ignoring the suffering of others if we simply pretend it doesn't exist, pretend it's not in our church, pretend it's not in our community. So I believe that while the persecuted church in North Korea or Iran or India or any one of a dozen other places can teach us a lot, we can't always just focus on them. We have to focus on the suffering around us. Yeah. Those that have lost a loved one, those that have seen opioids take the health and strength away from those that they love.
And
Economic crushings. I mean, we could go on and on. These are suffering as well. Maybe they're not the same kind of political or social persecutions that are going on against the church, but you know what? We still face that suffering, and we still have the capacity, like you were saying, to enter into that season with them and to express empathy. That's a ministry of Christ
to
people.
I'm not trying to equate literally suffering and persecution as always being the same thing. They're not always. But let me take one other turn on this. If the word is saying those who want to pursue a holy life will experience persecution, perhaps it means that we will have, as you said, through empathy, the capacity of perceiving the persecution and the suffering of others so that we can't escape what's going on there. We are now bound to them in a way that we experience it like we never thought possible.
You know, I've never actually put it that way, but I really like that because that's been my experience. There are times when I have come back from some of these places and for two or three, maybe longer days, I have been virtually paralyzed by the impact of these things on my soul. What do I do with this experience? I've seen things. I had an experience a few years ago dealing with Iranian escapees in a third country as we interviewed them about their torture for their faith. And I'm looking at these brothers and sisters. I still don't know how to really process some of those things. How they maintained their walk with Jesus in the midst of that. Some of them talked about miraculous things, like being removed from their body while their body was being beaten and being able to pray for their persecutors. I mean, think about that. I had a brother in Christ tell me he literally saw his body being tortured. And he, in the presence of God, prayed for those that were beating him. I've met wives that have been thrown out on the street because they professed Christ in a Muslim home.
And the honor killing.
And the honor
mentality is there.
Exactly. Had to flee for their lives. So I do think what you said is really true. We learn, we experience, and when we come in contact with that, we are profoundly changed. That's in our daily lives. Let's be profoundly changed by the message of what our brothers and sisters are going through. Let's let them lead us into the presence of Christ that way.
It's a holy place when we enter into another person's suffering because that was important enough for God to be with the people you just talked about, that Jesus would come and literally rescue them to a place of refuge even while he would allow the temple to be maybe even destroyed. But he would save the spirit within. These are tough questions, right? And I don't want to have a quick pat answer for these things either.
Come on, we just want a happy Christianity. Come on.
Many do. And, of course, we often talk about the difference between happiness and joy.
Yeah.
That sometimes we think about it being a continuum of ups and downs and valleys and averages of things. But sometimes we really are intensely happy being in the presence of God and his people.
Oh, my.
Other times we are full of joy of the Lord, which makes no sense, you know, or the peace that passes understanding, again, that is to others seems crazy.
Right.
But God, this is him. He lives in those crazy margins. And sometimes we have to be exposed to those things. I do pray for my body of believers back in Texas where we worship that God would make himself very close and near. but not that he would intentionally bring suffering on anyone,
no.
even my enemies.
Right.
I've learned to pray that way because if I really withhold compassion from those who are perpetrators, then I hold vengeance in my heart. And I've seen a lot of brutal things out there too. Not like you have seen as close up with individuals who have been tortured for their faith, mm-hmm. but just the evil of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
It's just tough to reconcile that God's in the middle of that even. He's present. He's not far from the wounded and the hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Even those who are being punished for no justifiable reason. He's especially seems to be there present with those who are being abused.
Yeah. I used to think about it this way. When you encounter some of these great heroes of the faith, it's a little bit like being a football fan and meeting, you know, Tom Brady or yeah. something like that. You meet that hero. It doesn't mean you stop playing football because you could never play it as good as Tom Brady. It means every football game you see and every football game you play in, you enjoy more because you met someone who has been at that place. And when I'm thinking about my church and serving this community that I serve here in Orlando, I'm not like, you're not anything like the believers in yeah. South Korea or North Korea or the Central China or the highlands of Vietnam. I mean, come on. No, it's like every interaction with the body of Christ brings me more joy mm-hmm. because I know that if it can be real there, it can be real here. And it can change people's lives. I mean, it's the power of the gospel, and that's not relegated to any one place in the world. It's for all men, all women, at all places, at all times.
And we're part of a great continuum. This is our generation, Carl, and God has chosen to put us in this century, and right. we know that the Great Commission is ramping up like never before. You know the numbers. You got all the stats. You got practically the entire book memorized. What's happening in this generation, in this century? And we know that technically, it is literally possible to get a copy of God's Word or a portion thereof in the hands of every human being on this planet in some form.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It could happen in this generation.
Yes.
And of course, the Great Commission didn't say every single person. It just said every tongue, tribe, and people. So even Jesus wasn't saying it's technical about getting every single person. He knows how to do the math or how to get people talking to each other.
Right.
He just says, follow me in this thing. If you'll do at least this much, I'll take care of the last mile.
Right. Right.
And you've been involved with this. In fact, it was your biggest heart for many, many years, and it still is, I know. How do you imbue that kind of ethic now in the congregation you're serving?
Well, that's a great question. At the end of the day, what really matters to a congregation is making sure that you stay centered in the Word. I know that, you know, it's very popular today to kind of move along the social gospel lines and to really kind of stray from putting the Word at the center of the conversation. I think God has breathed His Spirit into the Word of God. It's yeah. going to last forever. We know that the promises of God last forever. And so it really is important for us as a church to spend time in the Word and to engage the Holy Spirit in authentic worship. I'm not talking about a style of music. I'm not talking about a particular brand or anything like that. But I'm saying authentically engage through the Holy Spirit with worship and center on the Word. And I believe that is what puts us most closely aligned with the persecuted church, because they have nothing. They don't have the big sound systems. Mm-hmm. They don't have the sport court in the back of the parking lot of the church. Heck, they don't even have a church. What they have is the Word of God. And thanks to groups like Open Doors and Bible societies and various other parts around the world, there's just millions and millions of more people every year are getting access to the Word of God. You know, we're very close, as you said, to having all the spoken languages of the world have a copy of the gospel, or at least a portion of the gospel in their language.
I know that the translators themselves say, hold your horses a minute. We have a few thousand more languages
well,
to get into
a
written language.
But I mean, we're getting very, very close, and we're on the track to get there. I mean, if I were a businessman, just tell me the date and the number, and
yeah.
you know, we can work towards that. But I know Jesus doesn't operate that way. So there's joy to be had in the fact that millions and millions of more people every year are getting the gospel in their heart language. I'm also really glad that there are more and more of the largest languages in the world getting more modern translations
yes.
so that they're not 200 years old yeah. and archaic, but they're fresh and they're new and they're speaking to a new generation, a technical generation in countries like India and China and all over Africa and Arabic-speaking world as well. But if you really boil it down, the persecuted church has nothing but those two things, the Bible and authentic worship.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you know, to my friend from China, who's, you know, I asked him, what was it? And he said, just holy living. It doesn't take much more to see revival happen in our churches. And if you're thinking your church has to be, oh, certain size or certain budget or certain facilities, well, we can't grow because we don't have a basketball court like church down the street does. Let me tell you, you get your church centered on the Word of God and authentic worship through the Holy Spirit, and your church will impact more and more people. That's what I bring from the persecuted church to suburban Orlando.
And that growth may happen in that little town where that church exists. It may happen in another country that's never heard the gospel before.
Right.
I don't know where it's going to grow.
Right.
But the kingdom grows, right?
Kingdom grows.
And the kingdom that is willing to live sacrificially and to go and be missional is the church that will flourish.
Amen.
There's no church I think has ever been focused on itself that's ever grown, really.
Really. Yeah, and, you know, we could go through history of the church. We could go through lots of stories that point to this one thing, that where the church has to rely on those two things, authentic worship and the Word of God through prayer, it thrives.
Yeah.
And where it relies on anything else, legally, socially, economically, it fails and it goes into decline.
All right. So we come down to the season of giving. We're now looking forward to the next couple of months. At All Ways for Compassion Radio, it's been a deep focus on the Word of God getting into their hands, like we just talked about. So I want you to speak to this, as you were at the heart of this. For many years, we worked as partners through Open Doors to get the word to many people. We have, as you know, a new partner now for the end of the year, which we're excited about because we both love the people that are involved with us.
I love.
And we're going new places. Mm-hmm. What would you say to those who are considering getting involved, maybe for the first time, or maybe increasing their gifts this year for Bibles for China and for Nepal and for other parts of the world where we have our footprint now?
Mm-hmm. There is no more strategic and significant investment one can make at this time of year than investing in getting the Word of God into people's hands around the world, bar none.
And why is that?
Because at the foundation of everything else, you know, I used to say when I led the International Bible Society, Biblica, I used to say, we want to be Bible partners with every ministry in the world. Mm-hmm. Because if the Bible is not central, you have to ask yourself, is it really a ministry?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And honestly, at every place that the church is planted, every church that is planted, it is planted on the Word of God. Whatever the issue is, get a copy of the Word of God into that environment, and people will have a foundation on which to stand to answer those questions.
Key hearts will change, and
hearts
attitudes
change.
Will change.
Attitudes
actions
change.
Will change.
Society changes. And when the church has the Word of God, when it's equipped, when it's trained, and when it's provided, that's why this campaign is so important. Mm-hmm. Putting the Word of God in people's hands is the very, I would say along with prayer, mm-hmm. as you pray, as you give, pray now, pray to give, give and pray. And when you do that, that Word of God can be the foundation, the seedbed for the growth of the church, for the health of people, and for the redemption of mankind.
Before this year is out, Carl, we're going to talk some more about stories of Bibles in the hands of people that you've met over the years, because I know that those immediate stories of real people being transformed by the Word will lock into a lot of hearts of people that are still on the fence on this issue.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk some more about that before the time is up this year. But we are so glad to now have you as part of our team, and we're looking forward to the ways we can not just collaborate, but witness together the things that God is doing now and see how you led the way. I mean, you were the example and the docent of a new experience for them in East Asia. And I know that you have a real heart and a desire to go back and see it as often as possible. So our blessings upon you and your ministry here at Northland Church here in Orlando. And we look forward to hearing how God uses your tenure here to light that fire of missional living even more in this body and in this group of superior pastors and ministry leaders.
Well, thank you, Bram. Thank you for Compassion Radio. Thank you for being faithful. And Sandy, thank you so much as well. You guys are a team, and we love what God is doing, and I can't wait to see what He's going to do next.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.